Hey, homies, I'm over on top of the mountain. I have the sniper rifle ready to go. It's locked and loaded, bros!
Are you saying that DRM is actually not solving piracy? Is that what you're telling me? Hello, welcome to Disembodied Voices, episode 132. This is a podcast about video games. I am your host, Brian, and joining me today is Steven. Hello, Steven.
It's me!
And Zachary. Hello, Zachary.
It's not a Steven.
And Cameron. Hello, Cameron.
I am a plumber.
And
today's episode is for July 8th, 2014, and that is a Tuesday. No one say anything, okay?
Why would I say Tuesday weird?
Brian's
good question.
Weirdo. I don't know.
Moving on.
Brian is mad.
I know. Sorry.
I don't know.
I'm high strung right now, Cameron. I don't know
Obviously.
Why. Yeah, I had too much, like, not caffeine. I haven't had any caffeine.
Did you not have caffeine since last Tuesday?
Oh, God.
Okay, I decided to do it the one time. I'm done now.
I don't know if I can trust you, Cameron. I don't know if that trust exists anymore. I think you broke that trust like 10 seconds ago.
But do you know what? I think that the whole Tuesday thing is one of the best things that has happened to our podcast in a long time. Because I don't remember publishing an episode that blatantly stupid and weird in months. And it really felt good.
Yeah, okay, so I was gone for most of last episode, as was Steven. How'd that end up going for you guys? Anything fun discussed? Did I miss anything crucial?
Yeah, we just hit the big points of our Steam sale stuff, but we cut it pretty short, so nothing too extensively interesting.
Hmm, okay, so do you have more interesting things to say this week?
Hopefully.
Then say them.
Oh. Well, okay. So I played some games.
Really? All right, what about you, Zach?
Really?
Oh.
Yes, okay, so I have a... it's going to be a new segment, Steven, so you can go ahead and...
Ooh, intro.
Yeah, it's whatever, you can figure it out.
Okay.
And it can be utter crap, because the game is utter crap. It's the...
Cameron's... Adventure through... The life of the game devs who suck through the eyes of the Deadlinger.
All right, why the heck are you still playing this game?
Because they updated it again, and oh my god, this game. It's
Cameron,
been in development.
If your friends all jumped off a bridge just because the bridge was rebuilt, would you jump off it too because the bridge is rebuilt?
Likely it's because the bridge is breaking, so therefore the better chances of surviving would be because they're jumping off. And that's the... Anyways.
All right, whatever. Go ahead.
This game has been in development for over 2 years now.
One would say it's lingering.
I will punch you through the microphone. It's been released publicly for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And it's just toss. It's...
One would say it's brain dead.
I will murder you. Oh my god.
Alright.
So, I'm just, like, every time a new update comes out, I always say it to myself, if they had released it in this state at first, it would have been maybe acceptable. And I said that again this update, because they finally updated some graphic stuff, they added all this... Stop adding aesthetics and gameplay to a fundamentally broken game. Fix the fundamentally broken parts and then add things that's fun.
But Cameron,
you don't need to add grass physics, you don't need to add doors, you don't need to add any of this stuff like guns and prisons and barns and fences and roads. Add something that makes the game
not awful. What if I was to tell you they were adding Oculus Rift support?
Up to 7 Oculus Rifts simultaneously?
Yes.
I don't know, some of my favorite games ever have been fundamentally broken. Maybe.
No, you haven't played the Deadlinger, Steven. You don't understand.
No, Steven, you were, I'm sorry, I have to agree with Cameron of being outraged at your stupidity this time.
Oh dear.
Okay, we as a human race have, not as a human race, that was stupid. We as gamers have taken the phrase fundamentally broken and softened it. So like, you look at Sonic 06, and you would say, well, that game is fundamentally broken, but I still can find some enjoyment in it. No. The Deadlinger is, just
so wait, I'm not saying the game is horrifically glitchy, or you're not saying the game is boring. You're saying the fundamentals are broken.
There is nothing fun to do in that game, period. The walking barely works. It feels stiff and jaggy. The shooting is broken. You can't, there's no sound effects to it. The doors don't open. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to find. I walked for like 15 minutes and didn't see a single zombie.
So when the game was released, I found a gun, and at that point there was no ammo system. Just when you found a gun, you had unlimited ammo. So I found a pistol, and I stood just in the middle of this suburban neighborhood in the middle of the day.
Loosely suburban neighborhood.
Very loosely suburban. I don't even know what a neighborhood with like one tree sticking out of a house. I don't know. It was really weird.
And
so I just stood in the middle of it and could see zombies far off and just held my pistol and shot all these zombies in the head, and they just stood there as I killed every single zombie in the neighborhood.
Well, that sounds like the best zombie apocalypse ever. It's like, you have your shotgun, and you're cornered at your house, and then you shoot all the zombies, and it's okay. You won.
It wasn't a shotgun, it was a pistol, and
developers...
I wasn't in my house, I was in the middle of the street.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm not getting a very good sense of placement.
No.
Oh my gosh, like, they made random objects, like a mattress and a toilet, and they just spawn in random rooms. So you can have a room with like 17 mattresses and a toilet.
So it's like Gary's Mod, but not funny.
Yeah.
Basically. Because it's sad. Because these developers, who are so passionate about what they do, you can tell by their Twitter, they feel like they're big name developers, and they're like, we're updating the new build, and look at all these patch notes we have, and it's like 70 billion bug fixes that add 70 billion more. And it's like, I admire your dedication, guys, but you gotta get a director in there. You gotta get somebody in there running the show who knows what they're doing. Because at this point, all they're doing is floundering around like a freaking Magikarp and bashing their head into the wall, adding things. In like the third build of this incredibly buggy game, they spent like probably 40 or 50 days man-hour-wise adding a freaking prison. Which is super cool for a post-game DLC update, whatever, content patch.
But there's nothing to do in it, because you just walked around and said, yep, this is...
You walked around and you fell through the floor, and it's, you're like,
this is
couldn't you have taken
prison.
That time to make the floor not fall throughable? I mean, what is
the
your...
The only fun I remember in the prison is when we were about to stop, Cameron and I started trying to kill each other.
Yeah, and he killed me a couple of times.
And we just kind of laughed at how bad the PvP was.
I could go into that stupid office of those developers, Sanswept, and I could be a better director. Not knowing a jack about video games, I could be a better
just
director.
Just by saying, build this, not this.
Yeah,
okay,
stop
bye.
Focusing on features, focus on the foundation. There you go. Pay me however much they're paying that
it's
guy.
It's not a bug, Cameron, it's a feature.
But it feels
it's
like
a feature
just,
when you pick up a gun and it flips around in
like
circles in the middle.
They're just trying
there.
To cash in on the whole, you know, zombie daisy open world game. And, you know, the community's saying, wow, wouldn't it be cool if this thing was in there? And they're like, okay, we'll go work on that instead, because, you know, fixing our engine would...
Yeah, they are the definition of we listened to our fans too much. Like, I get that big AAA developers are trying to incorporate what their fans want more nowadays, but there's a really good phrase, and I can't remember exactly the phrase, but people don't tell
there's
you what they want.
You tell
people what they want. And that's how good products get made.
Right.
So when developers release a patch and it's like, hey, well, it'll be cool if there was bicycles, and they go, okay, we'll add bicycles in the next patch. And they're like working for 40 years trying to get bicycles in and they don't fix anything else. Then you have a problem. You have a serious problem. Cut the communication with some of your community. Cut out the content patches and just fix your game. Sanswept, I paid like $30 for this stupid game. And I have not gotten $30 worth of entertainment. I haven't gotten 30 cents of entertainment out of it. So, there you go. I'll update you in the next patch, whenever the heck that's gonna be.
Well, we really appreciate this, edition of Cameron's Adventure through the life of the game devs who suck through the eyes of the Dead Linker. It was very informative.
I would love to be able to talk to those guys and just see what...
I would actually like to speak with them. I really would. Like,
I don't think we'll be able to get them on the show at this point.
I hope they realize I'm not trying to be mean, but the problem is, they're just being dunderheads. You could ask anybody in the world and they're being dumb.
You know, speaking of not dunderheads, though, Extra Credits put up a very interesting episode about...
I watched that.
Oh, you watched it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for you, Cameron. And it was about early access games.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff you're talking about, I think they would have advised differently.
You think? That's not what I'm saying. Everybody in the world could advise differently than how they're making their game. Everyone.
Yeah, I mean, especially extra credit, so it makes sense that they would have a better idea than what these people are doing. Yeah, it's really early access kind of at its worst personified in a game. I'm sure there are a lot of examples, but this is the one Cameron and I actually bought into.
I'm not sure how they still have money.
I'm not sure they have money.
They're still releasing content, and they're still working
on it. I'm not sure they're spending money on it.
It's their full-time jobs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know either.
I don't know either. So
it's confusing.
So that's... I would actually like to talk to them, and it'd be interesting to talk to them as an interview-style format, you know, just to figure out what possibly could be their motivation.
So, Mr. Sandswift, what were you thinking? That's your first interview.
You can't just say that to someone's face. You should say, what's your problem?
Yeah.
Don't you know you suck?
Like, are you self-conscious of this fact? Yeah. Okay. That's not great. What else did you play?
Well, on to some more negative stuff.
Oh, great.
Back when Far Cry Blood Dragon released, it actually leaked early, like a couple of days, maybe even a week early, and there was a build floating around the internet, and I downloaded it and tried it out. Played fine. I didn't play much of it because I felt bad, so I played maybe like 50 minutes of it. I didn't really get a taste for the game, but whatever, it played fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought Blood Dragon, the real retail copy on Steam, back on the Steam sale, and I decided I wanted to play it, you know, actually play through it this time. Took me 45 minutes to get it working!
Oh dear. Why did it take you 45 minutes to get it working?
Because
of Uplay?
Because of Uplay.
No!
My point is, the pirated leaked copy...
Worked better.
from Russia, probably, worked way better than the copy I paid for on Steam.
I generally don't get up in arms about, like, services like Origin or when people complain about Steam.
That's because Origin and Steam work.
Right, exactly. Like, I don't care that much. As long as I can play the game, it's fine. But Uplay locked me out for like a weekend because it's CAPTCHA service to get my password back.
Oh, I remember that.
Said, please enter the two words, and then showed me numbers or something.
And there was only one word or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had to go into the Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon files. I had to copy the name of a weird .bat file and paste it onto the DirectX 11 EXE, and then delete the old .bat file, run the game once, and it would recreate the .bat file, and then copy the name onto the DirectX 9 EXE, and then the game worked. Meanwhile, I still had my pirated copy on the computer, and I went and played that, and it worked fine. So, this is why people pirate your games, people. This
so
is why.
Are you saying that DRM is actually not solving piracy? Is that what you're telling me?
It's a revolutionary breakthrough, I know. But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yep. Steven, I want you to play that gasp sound effect anytime something surprising is said.
It tainted. I really wanted to play the game, and then I spent 45 minutes to an hour doing that crap, and then I started playing the game, and I was like, I don't even want to play this anymore.
Well, ironically, right, the exact same...
Yeah, go ahead, Steven.
Well, the exact same situation of trying to play Uplay and not being able to play the game happened to me with Far Cry 3, not Blood Dragon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm just told basically the exact same story as you told.
Yeah, more or less. Mine was a slightly less complex version, but same deal.
It's really annoying, and unfortunately no amount of bickering on the internet's going to solve much.
Yeah.
But still. Nah.
Wait, are you saying that bickering on the internet doesn't solve problems?
That's another groundbreaking revelation from Disembodied Voices.
Strike the earth.
Alright. Well, have you been playing anything you've been enjoying?
But wait, you didn't like the
I
game?
I did. I played it, but I was in a kind of a foul mood. But the game was fine. I played up to the... Oh, yeah, that's right. I played up to the rocket getting punched, and that's like the first 15 or 20 minutes, and it was perfectly fun. And then it crashed, so I was like, all right, we're done with this. It gave me some Uplay error, like, something, exactly, and it just stopped working completely, so.
Seth, did you ever play Blood Dragon?
I did play Blood Dragon.
Do you like Blood Dragon?
I love Blood Dragon. I actually like it more than the regular old Far Cry 3.
Yeah, and what I played was really fun so far, and the comedy was hysterical. I loved the tutorial section at the beginning of the game. That was just ridiculously funny. Although still annoying, but that's the point. And I'll probably go back to it eventually, but right now I'm just annoyed and yelly face.
I kind of stopped with Far Cry 3, myself.
No, why?
I think they decided that I really appreciate the game. And it's fun when I'm playing it, but I hold no true fondness for it, or very little true fondness for it.
Ah, bummer.
It just...
What exactly isn't clicking with you? Is it that you don't much care for shooters in general?
I think that it is everything about the game, except... Well, okay, it's like many multiple things. I've been thinking about it. I think it's that I don't enjoy being in the world, and that's a very big deal for me in a video game.
What about it is unappealing to you? Just everyone does jungle environments and woohoo?
I think everyone does jungle environments. Everyone does, you know, like, somewhat realistic, but ultimately sort of bland, military or, mercenary styles. I don't really like any of the characters. The story certainly isn't helping.
Well, the story is the weakest part of the game.
But even when you're in the open world, it's not like completely silly like Just Cause, which is actually kind of a bad game world as well. And it doesn't have like, it's not likable and exciting like Mercenaries. It's just kind of like, there are all these copy-pasted, obnoxious bad guys who I just kill indiscriminately. I don't like it.
I agree with you. It's a game that I solely play for, like, the gameplay.
The game, yep.
And it really is there. It's just, it doesn't always click with me, and when it stops clicking with me and things get boring, I instantly kind of think, I'll put this down and go do something I enjoy more.
Okay.
It's a really fun game. I really appreciate it, and I'm amazed how there was a point where I jump off a waterfall to get away from wolves and somehow survive the, like, 50-foot drop, but there's an alligator and it starts to eat me, and then I had to run away from that and then run into a leopard, and it's awesome when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many amazing gameplay moments in that game.
Yeah.
It feels like they're scripted, but they're not
exactly scripted.
That's where that game shines, and not anything else, really. Boss and the gameplay.
Right.
It's basically Far Cry 3 in a nutshell.
It's very specific things, but it is not... It has a lot of, like, lacking parts that are just kind of feel generic.
I mean, it's...
Did you ever beat it, Brian?
No, I got very close to finishing the first half, I think, like, where do you go to the second island? I didn't quite make it to the second part.
You should finish it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It was a lot of fun.
I think you guys should also finish Metal Gear Solid 4 as well, which you never did.
We came to the same conclusion, though. We realized Metal Gear's dumb.
Yeah, well, you're dumb. Finish the stupid game.
We'll finish it. Don't worry. We promise
Metal Gear
we would.
Is dumb, but...
Just wait until I come out again.
Yes.
It'll probably take us that long, if we're going to be honest.
But like with Far Cry, I think the thing that could really fix that game for me is multiplayer. Because I won't like be focusing on the game environment so much. I'll be focusing on having crazy fun with other people. I think that'll take me out of my slumps a lot more often. If the co-op is good on the next Far Cry.
Yeah, I think the co-op could really change that as well, absolutely.
I am very excited to try it. Is it four-player co-op or two-player co-op?
I believe it's four-player co-op.
Yeah.
Said.
If it's four-player co-op, I swear to God, I'm going to get each and every one of you to finally play a game together, all of us. We're going to do it. I don't care if I have to buy the game for you.
You do realize that we could do the co-op in Far Cry 3 right now.
But the co-op in Far Cry 3 sucks.
No, it's its own little island, and... Its own story.
Not that.
I
good.
Never actually played it, so I would.
No, I actually did play it.
All I want is to have full access to the island and have all the NPCs, good and bad, existing in it. I don't need any story or any of that.
Well, that's exactly what 4 is.
That's
though.
Four,
I only want to play it with you guys if we all act like people at Ubisoft press conferences act when doing co-op.
Okay.
All right, Brian. So. I'm about to circle around and take out this mercenary. Hey, could you give me some covering fire?
Hey, dudes, I'm over here. Hey, homies, I'm over on top of the mountain. I have the sniper rifle ready to go. It's locked and loaded, bros.
Oh, my gosh, bros.
Bro.
I really appreciate that it's locked and loaded, homie.
G up.
You lost me, bro.
Ubisoft press conferences suck.
StarCraft conferences suck?
Ubisoft press conferences.
Oh.
They do like, not.
They so do.
They are the best every year. I never laugh quite as much as I do.
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to laugh at a press conference.
I am supposed to laugh, and I watch those to have a good time.
Ubisoft hires comedians, Cameron. I'm pretty sure they want people to laugh at their conferences.
Yeah, well,
just not in the way that people
actually laugh at them.
Yeah,
laugh with them. They want laughing with them.
So
they don't get that.
I hear from quite a few people that people say Aisha Taylor is a good host. Do you enjoy how she does things, Zach? I remember not really enjoying her style the first year she hosted, but I haven't seen.
Yeah,
her
like
since.
I think the first year was just like, you know, she wasn't like, I guess, particularly prepared for like, you know, that kind of like environment. Mm-hmm. Since she is like, you know, I mean, like, since she mostly just like, you know, does like, since she comes from more of like, you know, like, the stand-up side of things, and like, it's very different. But I think that she has definitely like gotten into the role now, and I actually do like her as a like presenter. Although I will say that I kind of wish that Mr. Caffeine would come back at some point.
Oh yeah, he was
terrible, but everything he did had me on the floor laughing. So
it was. I've seen some like, you know, summaries and clips of him. Yeah. It's brilliant stuff.
Everything he did made absolutely no sense, and like it was the worst possible jokes. He mispronounced names constantly, but it was the most fun I've had watching a press conference.
What a dork. What an absolute dork. That was what, two?
That was
years
2010.
Ago? Yeah. 2010? No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I thought it was 2000 and...
Or was it 2011?
No, that sounds right to me. That sounds...
Was it? I'm pretty sure it was 2011.
I thought this was Aisha Taylor's third year.
Or wait, is it her third year? Then that would have...
Been
2012
13,
would have been her first year.
It would have been 11. Yeah, I think I'm right.
Okay, when was Joel McHale? Where did he do it?
Joel McHale did it 1 year before Mr. Caffeine.
Okay. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember that was the year that we watched together, and I was out of college at that point. So
yeah, I remember him being like really bored in a lot of ways and kind of forcing his enthusiasm.
If he ever does any kind of game-related stuff, Joel is usually not very good at it, which he was actually one of the presenters.
He was worse at the
VGAs. At the
VGX. That was really bad.
Yeah, he was. Ugh. He obviously did not want to be there.
No, he was just
insulting
everyone. I think
all Ubisoft press conferences should be exclusively performed by Toby Turner over Skype.
Okay, done. That couldn't picture somebody better.
Okay.
I thought he didn't do that well when they had him.
He didn't really. I think, again, he also felt out of his element.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He fortunately, though, is actually really still funny, though, even when kind of awkward.
Here's what I want to do. I want to pitch that Disembodied Voices will do the next Ubisoft press conference.
It's Just Dance again. Oh my god. Freaking Just Dance. Here we go.
Hey, I reviewed Just Dance 3 and I had fun with it.
Gia! See, this is our stage manager right here. Hello, listeners. At this point in the podcast, Cameron's audio cuts out for a while, and I was about to edit it out, but realized it's much funnier to leave it in.
Hey, at least it's honest. Our banter is...
I don't think that the press conferences are going for honest, honest.
That's a good point. If we go to them and say, we're going to be honest with people, I don't think they'll
get
to hire us
on the stage. I really don't.
That is an excellent point. I hadn't considered that. All right, never mind. We haven't got a chance. So, what were we talking about?
I think it was something involving polar bears, sauerkraut, and South America.
Is there anything that combines these?
A
really good sandwich?
Well, there's that, and I believe that Cameron has been playing a game which involves all three of them.
Cameron, you tell us about this mythical game.
Cameron, you have been playing it! Make up a game now! I would actually love Marlow Briggs even more if it incorporated all three of those. If there was, like, a German villain who ate nothing but sauerkraut, yeah, that'd be great. Well, I mean, I guess...
Was a polar bear?
Yeah! A polar bear, he might have, like, imported one, I guess.
Cameron, have you been playing Marlow Briggs? You bought that, right?
Everybody plays.
You're making Zach cry, Cameron. It's not an excuse, Cameron. You're making Zach cry.
Just because I have no job doesn't mean that you can get away with not playing games. I don't know how that logic works, but I'm going to make it work somehow.
I think you can make it work,
Cameron,
by applying a polar bear to South America. And what?
A sauerkraut.
I know, you were saying that. But oh. Good answer.
I was going to tell Cameron that he can make everyone happy, including Zachary and including me, by
you
talking
play Dragon's
about...
Dogma?
Bum, 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 ba-da-bum, bum,
Shovel Knight?
Bum, ba-da-bum, bum,
I'm not going to know the melody. Are you talking about Shovel Knight? Bum,
bum. Oh. Well, now you're making me angry!
Oh my gosh, Cameron. Cameron, you're ruining everyone. You're ruining... And you're not playing it yet? What's wrong with you? I have encouraged you to play games during the podcast, Cameron. Where have you been?
For years, Cameron, we have told you nothing but please play games during the podcast.
Yeah. Jeez. You just don't listen to us. I think you don't respect us as people. So Zach, what have you been playing?
Right. What have I been playing? I think I actually told Steven this, like, I think it was earlier, I mean, like, today, though, but before we get into that, I actually do want to, apologize to pretty much everybody that I have insulted over the past, like, 130 episodes, whenever the topic of WoW or any other massively multiplayer online game comes up, and
yes!
How I call them all trash, and
you have.
That I make fun of those who spend nothing but you know, who spend like 14 hours a day just playing those games.
Are you going to rescind the mean words you said about...
That there is nothing in those games that are any kind of worthwhile in how I feel, or rather how I felt, that, because see, this is all past tense now.
I noticed. I'm very excited.
I wish we were a video podcast, because you don't know how much I'm smiling right now.
Me too. Now, something I want to know. Does this include when you viciously insulted the guy who liked Eve? Our personal
I was hoping
friend.
That nobody would bring that up.
I remember.
It was like the first 10 episodes. Somebody wrote in about Eve Online, and I made fun of him for his choice of game, because I said
now,
there's nothing... I said that there was nothing redeeming about the massively multiplayer online RPG
130
genre.
Episodes later.
And, so, I mean, you all may know that, like, a few months ago, I played a bit of Final Fantasy XIV.
Yep.
That was more, I guess, just, like, you know, trying it out stuff. And I stopped playing it for, like, 3 months, and I was like, okay, you know, that's it, I'm done. With it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody on Twitter was talking about how awesome the end game was, and I'm like, oh,
yeah.
You know, maybe I'll fire it up again, like, you know, just to get through the main story. And that's what I did for a while. And then I found out a bunch of other things, and oh my god, I played it for 14 hours yesterday.
Wow.
And
wow.
It is fun. Like, it is weird.
I would hope.
A game that is so apparent with its desire to have you do nothing but menial, mindless fetch quests and running through dungeons, killing the same things over and over and over again, and, like, walking through a city full of people who all have really stupid, silly names, and who are all making awful noises as they craft and do their special moves and show off and... everything. It all sounds terrible, but why can't I stop playing it?
But see, Zachary, you're finally discovering that this is what Japanese RPGs have always been. you're just now equating that, and so you enjoy it.
Well, I mean, so, I guess going on to, I guess, like, a bit more serious note, though, like, I think I have discovered why I like it so much, And I guess, like, especially compared to, compared to, like, my time, my time with Guild Wars 2, like,
mm-hmm.
I never truly got, like, a sense of belonging.
Yeah, like, that's key.
I never, like, really felt like I was, like, welcome in that world. Mm-hmm. Which a lot of that really was just, like, I guess in terms of just how, like, everybody seemed to kind of be in it for themselves in Guild Wars 2. Like, I am sure that, like, you know, if you get high enough and, like, you know, if you join a guild and stuff, like, you know, you mm-hmm. will find your place there. But, like, even starting out in 14, everybody is so nice to you.
I know! Nicest community, like, you just want to just hang out with all the cat-eared people and be like, what's up, buddy? Let's kill this monster together. And they're like, smiley face.
Like, I mean, like, what, like, 2 days ago, I was just out questing and, like, adventuring, and I was just, like, fighting this, like, really big monster, and, like, I was in no danger of dying at all. But a white mage just walked up, cured me, and walked away. And, like, yep. and that's just like, thank you, things like that, like, you know, aren't really, like, I mean, like, it, they aren't, like, really needed, but it just makes me feel like people actually, like, are just, like, aware that there are other people here,
yeah,
and that
Guild
they
Wars,
actually mm-hmm. care about them, and their well-being.
That's true. Guild Wars, because all the classes were made to be very self-sufficient, sometimes, you know, interaction between other players doesn't seem nearly as big as in more traditional MMOs. But stuff like WoW and Final Fantasy XIV really does have that feeling of cooperation around them.
I love how Guild Wars does things, but it's such a smooth, action-focused game that you can really just run around with a couple of your buddies, or no one at all, and ignore everyone else. But
it
there's something
how
about
you're playing.
Like mm-hmm. Final Fantasy is going out of its way a lot more to say, this is the town, this is the players, you must, you know, you'll be seeing a lot of them around, so we better cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, yeah. So have you, like, gotten into any guilds, or been partying up, or is
yes.
it just...
I actually have, I mean, like, I actually joined a free company just last week.
Oh, that's cool. Well,
which one?
Yeah. I forget their name, because I joined them just because a person met me in town and just sent me a random, like,
That happened to me, too. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, just somebody met me up, and then they just asked me to join, and like, I was like, okay, why should I join you? And they're like, we have a house, and I'm like, done.
Oh, man, I want a house. I spent, like, 30 minutes running around looking at people's houses and dancing on their tables.
Yeah, I know, like, our free company bought a house in Mist, which is the housing, like, community, I believe, in the forest place. In
Wait, are there, like, more than one house areas?
Yes. Each continent has its own, like, housing complex.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
So what class are you playing?
I'm playing as a Marauder, which is the tank class.
Okay.
I was just gonna say, which is the class that has, like, the, is it, like, a Lancer or something?
The, like, Lancer is the one that, Lancer is the DPS class with the spears.
That's what I play. That's
maybe
what comes
anyway. A Dragoon, right?
If you level up the Lancer to 30, and I think it's the Marauder to 15, you unlock, and then that unlocks the Dragoon job.
So have you been doing any, like, dungeons and that sort of thing?
Yes, I have been doing lots of dungeons, especially after I found out that apparently once you hit level 30, you actually unlock the duty, like, roulette, which is, like, the game assigns you to a random dungeon with a first-time player, and you get, like, a lot of, like, you mean, like, which actually nets you a lot of nice things for helping out these new players.
That's
and
so
really?
Cool.
That's cool.
And and you can do this once a day, and it's how I've basically been getting most of my, like, rewards in terms of gil and XP and stuff like that.
Hmm. Final Fantasy has a lot of really interesting systems for grouping. Like, they have a bunch of, like, hunting quests, and some of it is just kind of emergent. Others will just encourage you to team up with certain people or certain groups.
Right.
It's has a lot of good stuff.
That's cool.
It's very cool. Yeah, man.
It's fun until I start to get frustrated that, you know, like, it's... At this point, it's like one out of every three times I am paired up with a party in which the healer just does not know what they're doing, and I end up dying a lot.
I would kill for that. In World of Warcraft, I'll just team up for random dungeons. We win 99% of the time. No problem. We're just pressing buttons.
I think the way to solve this problem is to swear at the healer over and over again and tell him he's a horrible person.
Well, the thing is, for one, the chat window blocks swearing, and also trying to type and tell somebody something whilst you're also trying to, like, you know, manage...
People
like,
do
you know,
it, Zach.
I know they do, but I can't because as a tank, I feel that I have to be singularly focused on trying to draw everything away from, like, you know, all the other people. And that already feels like, I mean, like, at the moment, I am beginning to feel like the tank is the class that has, like, all of the weight of the world. Like,
oh yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Tank and healer. It's all tank and healer.
Well, it's just that, Cameron, I am new to these kind of games, but,
he
like...
He is a noob.
It's like... I knew, like, conceptually what the tank was, but now, like, I actually get it, and I actually now, like, kind of have pride in my job as a tank.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I, mean,
it
with
is,
the DPS,
I actually realize
like...
just how hard it is.
Yeah, with the DPS, if you miss things, it's like, oh, that boss died 3%. Slower than he could have with the tank. It's like, you did it wrong. We're all dead. Thank you.
I mean, it's super true. As DPS in World of Warcraft, it's my routine to run up to a room swarming with monsters and stand there looking at the tank until he does his job and runs in the middle of everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then we all have to jump in and save him.
Mm-hmm. And then the healer is also really important,
but I do.
It's a little...
Well, yeah, that's actually really important, especially when you're going through a dungeon and the healer ignores you in favor of trying to try out her new fancy spell on the boss, but the boss is a boss with a bunch of small little baby bosses, and they are all attacking me.
What you really need there is some kind of DPS with a decent area of effect, not a healer who's trying to hurt the boss.
The thing, though, here as well is I actually would have been fine against just the boss if the DPS people were, like, you know, if they were also doing their job because...
Zach is
that,
truly becoming an MMO
because,
player.
Like, that whole boss is about, like, the boss spawns little egg sacs, and you have about 10 seconds to get rid of the egg sacs, or they hatch up into smaller versions of it. And, like, and it's just like, okay, look, the tank has to, okay, something like, you know, my job is just to sit here and have the boss just focus on me. You guys go and, I mean, like, you know, go and kill all the egg sacs. But no, man, but no, we're gonna sit here and, like, you know, fight the boss with you as well. It's like, but you're making everybody's jobs harder.
That's why, like, communication is really important when the game gets difficult. And it's something I don't have very much experience with because World of Warcraft, I've never really seen it get difficult. So... it's kind of hard when you're randomly grouped, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's that as well. It's like, I'm already, encountering, like, the difficulty spike, which actually does occur in 14.
Uh-huh.
It's still insanely fun. Like, I just adore this game, but, like, it does get tough as you, like, move on, like, to where, like, starting out dungeons are actually just light parties, which are just parties of four. With, like, you know, one healer, one tank, and two DPS. Mm-hmm. And now I'm getting up into, like, the mid-party dungeons, which are, like, two tanks, two healers, and four DPS.
Oh,
so,
wow. Uh-huh.
Like, and it's getting a lot more, I guess, complex now in dungeons and trying to figure out, like, you know, who should do, or I mean, like, you know, like, who should be doing what. And sometimes in those dungeons, even though we have, two healers, one healer seems to be content in trying to fight and just like, you know, like, and then one healer just has to focus on healing all, I mean, like, you know, both us and like, you know, sometimes, the four guys doing the DPS and it's just like, come on guys, just please. But I realize that I'm now talking like a thing that I used to claim to hate.
Well, that's good. You've learned not to hate it. and instead to become it.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, I actually, like, fully recognize that, like, all the systems in 14 are basically built to where, like, you are forced to grind for a very long time and to where the game actually is built to last you a long time so that you will keep on paying for it.
Yep.
And, like, I get that, and I should not be falling for it, and yet I am.
I mean, there's a line, though. Like, on one hand, you're falling for it. You know, sometimes they sacrifice good game design for lengthy game design. But on the other hand, if the underlying mechanics are super fun and really strong, and they're dumping all this money and all these resources into making the game huge, then you have an unlimited, like, player-focused game that you can
also
just play forever.
I don't think MMOs are just trying to make it broad to make money. I mean, obviously they want to make money, but it's partially they just need to create a world that players will keep coming back to over and over again. But they need a system where creating content for that is feasible. So it's not just for making money, it's also to make a player base and community that can constantly have something to do.
And that is definitely what I am doing, because I'm now actually just getting into the crafting. And
oh yeah,
crafting
is
fun.
So much fun.
Crafting is amazing.
It's just like so satisfying sitting there like sorting through all of your materials and saying I can just now afford this new sword, and yeah, it's great stuff.
And saying sword.
At the moment right now, I can actually just make scissors.
Well, scissors are good too.
Which I can sell to my grand company as part of a quest thingy to get seals, which are a separate currency that.
Now you get into the currencies. You're really getting into it.
Yeah, in which you have to use just within the grand companies to buy exclusive gear from within those grand companies. And it's just like, ugh, there are so many things, but I can't stop getting all of these things because I just. It's weird. It's so weird that, like, for years I have just sworn off this genre because I knew what it was, and I still know what it, and I still know what it is. I mean, like, I think that 14 works for me is just because I'm so bitter over how many years that, like, we have not had a, like, you know, good Final Fantasy, and 14 just, like, ticks all of the boxes of what I want from a Final Fantasy game. Mm-hmm. Even if And it's just like, why did you make this game so good?
So what genre is next for you? What is the genre that you're going to have an epiphany on?
The only other genre that would be actually like feasible would be the real time strategy genre.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
That's not going to happen.
It happened with me, Zach.
Well,
no one can hate RTSs more than me
because it was a Blizzard game, and you have this like. You have a gene in you, which makes it so that you cannot even remotely hate a single game from them.
That is
all right,
true.
Well, let's look at this, though. This happened to you because it was a JRPG.
Exactly.
And so
a
all
JRPG
you need to do...
RTS.
Exactly. It's good. They're going to make one eventually.
But the thing is, though, that genre is also hated in Japan, so it's not going to happen.
That's true.
They do like their MMOs in Japan. Well,
although, granted, I mean, like... is Pikmin like an RTS? I don't like Pikmin, but...
What about you,
I mean,
Cameron? What is the genre that you will have an epiphany on one day that you've always hated? Is there a genre you hate?
Is there a specific genre? Like,
I can't think of a genre you just don't play.
Cameron hates bad games.
I hate SRPGs.
Really?
That actually is something that I also don't exactly play a lot of.
They're the worst. They're just so boring and dumb and
like
everything.
I just don't like
XCOM.
It because they are really, really hard. And
Steven,
I'm just,
though you're
and
being
I'm
sarcastic,
just
Steven has a good point, Cameron. You enjoyed XCOM.
We had this discussion.
XCOM is an SRPG.
I know that. We had this discussion when XCOM came out. XCOM is like the StarCraft of SRPGs.
Yep.
It's perfect in every single way, and it cuts off the fat, and it makes it just a perfectly streamlined game, and I never finished XCOM. So, you know, it was not an epiphany.
XCOM,
it was just a really, really, really,
oh
really
gosh,
good
game
that game I
is
happened to like
so
a little bit.
So good. I have so many good memories from that game. Yeah. I like that game a lot. I'd love to play through it again. I'm really excited about that new Civ game coming out.
Oh, yeah, no. I actually cannot wait for Civ Flight Beyond Earth or whatever.
That excites me so much.
Zach, if Brian and I had recently been talking about taking a break from World of Warcraft until the expansion comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll play some Final Fantasy.
No.
Maybe. Yay!
Maybe. Well, who am I to say? Go ahead. I
maybe,
wash my hands of this.
Once I get to 80 or 90, once
don't
I get to 90
kind
of in World
of Guild
Warcraft.
Wars deserves some of your attention, though?
I think that I'd rather join Zach excitedly in Final Fantasy, because I'm just so happy to watch the genre.
But
now.
You could join me and Brian excitedly in Guild Wars.
No, we're going to make teams. Cameron and I are going to play Guild Wars. You two are going to play Final
Okay.
Fine with me. I don't need you guys anyways. My best friend
is
Brian.
Yeah, Cameron only likes me.
So then at this point, though, Cameron needs to make a logo that is almost like a gang street fight. with him and Brian.
Yep. And then you guys have to make your logo.
Sides.
Good luck.
Well, we're just going to be on a giant fat chocobo waving our arms.
Oh, that would be so great. Yeah, I like this plan, but we're going to do this. So you've been playing anything else, Zach, or is it just all fantasy?
I mean, like, I am still, I guess, on my search with the perfect, like, 3D platformer, but that search has turned up nothing super great so far.
I know, I want them to be out there, but they aren't.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've bought, like, four, and, I mean, like, I bought, The Legend of Spyro, A New Beginning.
Oh, dear.
You're looking in the wrong
Elijah Wood is not going to save you.
Wait, Zach, so I found one the other day.
I could only play that game up until Sparks opened his mouth, and I realized that that was David Spade, and I was just like, I'm done.
It was David Spade. How did they get
David Spade voices Sparks the Dragonfly.
How did they get David Spade
because,
to be Spyro the Dragon?
Because he has not been a household name in comedy in like 15 years.
Zach.
Not 15 years. Emperor's New Groove came out.
That was
years
like.
Ago. Oh my god.
That
I'm
was
so
a long
old.
Time ago, Cameron.
I'm so old.
All right. Well, Cameron has an existential crisis. Have you tried Lily Child of Geos?
I did buy that game. That game is awesome.
It is good. Okay.
Yeah.
I was worried that it wasn't because it was an iPhone port.
It's really weird that, like, a game that, like, is able to translate so well from mobile to PC.
Okay.
And it looks beautiful, and it plays well, and, like, the world is vibrant and funny.
So is it like a Banjo-Kazooie platformer, or is it more
No.
Oh, okay.
It is nothing like that. It's actually more like an adventure game. Easiest thing to compare it to, I guess, is Zelda with touch combat.
That sounds great. Okay, cool.
On mobile, it was touch combat, but on the PC, it's more like you grab and drag things with your mouse for combat.
What do you think of Divinity Original Sin? Have you looked into that?
Ah! That game is cool and really hard because
it looks so good
to me. CRPG.
It has turn-based combat. I thought it was a Diablo-style game at first, and I wasn't interested.
No. Nope, it is very turn-based. It is, as soon as you come across, like, an enemy, the game seamlessly, like, converts into a turn-based system.
That looks really fun.
That sounds neat. Yeah. That looks like a cool game.
And awesome. It's really cool. It has wonderful writing. Very, very, it's a very, like, it's a very, like, European game.
Apparently it also has co-op in it, which seems awesome.
It does actually have, which actually I think that, for Brian and Steven, you two should buy it and actually play it in co-op, because see, in that game, the co-op works out as thus. During all of the major choices, each person has a say. And if
I want Cameron and Steven to play this game and stream it.
So basically, if both players actually cannot come to like an agreement, they actually have to, and then at that point, they have to settle their differences through a game of rock, paper, scissors.
That's awesome!
It's okay, so cool. This is actually a very persuasive, like, little blurb on Steam. gather your party and get ready for a new Back to the Roots RPG adventure. Discuss your decisions with companions. Fight foes in turn-based combat. Explore an open world and interact with everything and everyone you see. Join up with a friend and play online in co-op. And make your own adventures with a powerful RPG toolkit. It's like, those are all the things I love about video games!
Yeah, that sounds really great.
Yeah.
What is it called again?
Divinity Original Sin.
Original Sin.
Yes, and I actually backed it months ago, actually, back when the game was, you know,
oh,
first.
Oh, it's classless character creation? I mean, I assume
yes,
they don't mean it's
it
classless,
is actually,
but...
Well, like, when you first start out, each character is assigned a class, but then from there on, you can assign your skill points to pretty much, like, you know, like, all the skills.
Mm. Man,
so,
this game sounds amazing in all ways. I really want to play
does.
This.
Yeah, I mean, like, so far, it's been a lot of fun. I think I began kind of poorly, though, because, like, I rolled, like, two characters who, who are focused solely on, like, just dealing damage, and like, potions cost way too much gold, so I'm thinking about going back and starting over again and, like, re-rolling with, like, a cleric or, like, because, like, I just need somebody who can heal.
Man, I'd love to just make, like, do you get to roll multiple warriors per person who's playing, or is it just, like, two people, or what?
It is just two people, because, like, so basically, like, the main, I guess, like, conceit is that, the two characters in the game are actually, like, they're like a married, like, couple.
Man, this is almost like an idea I had for a game a really long time ago, which is like a co-op game where the story really integrates your two roles and pays attention to that instead of like a copy coming in. What?
You mean an idea we had?
Well, yeah. Sorry.
We're not the same person, man. I want credit for our ideas that
All
are
right,
made.
That we had. This sounds amazing in like every respect.
It does. I mean, until like 2 days ago, I thought it was like some
Diablo clone.
Pre-release Divine Divinity game. I don't
I mean,
know
it
what
in
it was
the
at all. But like, I thought it was like an older version, Divine Divinity something.
Well, great. So what else have you been playing, Zach?
Shovel Knight. Zachary, what's wrong? Are you hearing voices in your head?
I played a game that did involve a knight with a shovel.
Whoa.
But that wasn't, I mean, like, I've...
You played
I mean, like,
Minecraft?
I've only... Yeah, but yeah, no, like, I actually bought Shovel Knight back when it first launched, but I've only played, like, up to the first four bosses, but I've watched, up through the first six bosses because, hush, hush, keep this on the down low or whatever, but, a friend of mine and I are starting up a bit of a Let's Play series, and we're actually doing that as our first game, and I'm watching him play it, but...
Oh, that's great!
So, I've watched him up through the first six bosses, and it's been fun. That game is super lots of fun. It incorporates all of the old school gameplay, I guess, like stuff that I love, whilst also taking out all the things that I hate, and then adding in a fresh dose of super great stuff.
That's great.
I agree. I love that game a whole lot. In fact, I decided that there would be a lot of reviewers making their own review decks, trying to be clever. And so I made 5 review decks for myself.
You
so
don't even write reviews.
In case I want to write a review, I have these reserved.
This isn't
number one. A modern classic. That's my first one. I just wanted to get that one out of the way. Number two, this is one hidden gem worth digging for.
Okay.
Number three, let's call a spade a spade, and a great game a great game.
I love it. Next.
Number four, DuckTales, woo-oo. And number five, a real treat for fans of the shovel spade genre.
That is my favorite.
So just those are taken, and no one else can use those, and I give it a 9.8 out of 11.
Well, Stephen, I'm glad we have you doing this hard-hitting game journalism.
Thanks. Anyway, I don't know. I felt like I was really, really bad at that game, which just made it better. I'm so rusty at those kinds of games. It was terrible. I was just jumping in pits.
I'm super rusty at any video games that are not card games.
Yeah, you pretty much only play Hearthstone at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. But hey, I'm pretty good at that.
That's true. I'm getting better. We play.
You are getting a lot better. You learned a very important lesson today. You can place minions anywhere, including between your own minions.
I didn't realize you had to play them
on the far right every time.
Kind of.
That was crucial.
I don't know how I didn't know that. That's kind of important.
I don't honestly either, but you do now. So, whatever. Maybe it's less clear than I thought. Maybe they don't teach that in the tutorial. They should.
Maybe I just forgot. I don't know. I've been getting better at it, though. Consistently playing it is helping, so that's good.
Do you think practice makes better? It's true.
Yeah. And relating that to Shovel Knight, I felt like the game, in a way, got easier as I went on. I'm not sure if that's just because I became so powered up with all the store items, or if it's just because I got way more confident in the game, but...
I actually do think because, like, watching somebody else play it is actually, like, kind of eye-opening, I guess, in terms of how, like, a player's skill, like, progresses as they go through it, because, like, you actually can, like, see... Or, I mean, like, or at least in the case of my friend, like, he gets, like, way more, he's gotten, like, much more confident in, like, at least in terms of, like, in terms of getting across, like, gaps and jumps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he actually died a lot in, like, the first three stages because he was just, like, mostly because, like, he would jump and then, like, I guess, like, think that, like, he would think that, like, he wouldn't make it, and then he, like, you know, stopped and just, like, fell down. And I think that, like, as you go on, you just begin to, grow more confident that you will make that jump.
Yeah. Even in the first level, I had a little bit of difficulty. Sometimes, like, with the enemies, I'm like, how do I kill this guy? How do I use my shovel move? He's just hurting me. Once I beat the game and went back to that level, I just blew through the whole thing. I was, like, the most awesome knight alive. Just blowing up everything in one hit. It was awesome.
So, what do you think of the first 10 seconds of Shovel Knight, Cameron?
I haven't played it.
I heard you play it.
That was just the menu screen of the 3DS.
Oh, how do you like the menu screen?
It's fine.
Good. Good.
I'm really excited to play it though, so whatever. I'll play it for tonight.
Okay. Steven.
I beat Shovel Knight. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things where I got kind of close to the end of the game. Like, I had maybe 4 levels to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I just refused to stop, and then there's the ending, and then another ending thing, and, like, it just went on and on. I just played it obsessively for multiple hours, and it was just the best. It was such a classic video game experience, so I enjoyed that. I've also been playing a lot of The Sims 3!
I've been noticing that, and I'm pretty sure that each and every time that I see that pop up on Steam, I, like, immediately, like, sigh, and then just say why.
Every time The Sims 3 pops up on Steam, Katy Perry gets $4.
Zach's reaction is very appropriate.
You better make that the title.
Katy Perry gets $4.
That's your review deck for The Sims 3. You have 4 other great ones.
Okay, I also once again offer an apology to Stephen, to where I said that nothing he says is funny, but that is legitimately the funniest thing said all podcast.
Yeah, well done, Stephen.
Thanks.
You win the Zachary seal of approval. You get the Zachary seal of approval for the first time.
Wow! I'm so proud of that. I've literally been... That is my life goal for 4 years.
If you want Zach's eternal admiration, you will say that joke in a Bentley impression.
I feel like that would be like...
No, save it. You have to save it.
If you do that, I might die.
Yeah, I cannot
risk this.
Like, too much fan service. Mm-hmm. Zach is not a fan.
So even playing The Sims, you told me, you've regaled me with some of your exploits, and I told you need to start, like, keeping a log.
Yeah, like the Lord Meldor thing you have going for Zelda.
Yeah.
Next time I start a character, I think I'll do like a day-by-day or like an in-game day-by-day log
of
what my characters are doing. Because it just creates all these natural stories that deserve to be told. And I want to remember
that's really
them.
Your why for asking if you play it. You just like watching these stories unfold.
That's one of the many reasons. I also think it's super fun to, like, create houses and make custom wallpapers and clothing and stuff. I really, really like doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought, I'm interior decorating is just something that I actually find kind of interesting. And The Sims just lets you play around with it.
Well, I mean, you're a huge fan of, like, Tomodachi Life, Animal Crossing. The Sims really fits
I just
that.
Love those games, man. It's just so fun to, like, see the characters interact with each other and say, whoa, this character's doing this. I would have never expected that. That's hilarious.
It's really, like, you're equivalent to my strategy games in that, like, I like that genre, but I never have the time for it and can never get that into it. And you're, like, the exact same way as strategy games.
Like, the stuff that happens in The Sims, you just... You can't make it up. It's just... It's funny, funny stuff. I'm definitely gonna log it and link it to everyone.
It's like,
so
it's funny.
It.
You'll come down at the point of The Sims and I'll be like, I wanna tell you about this Hearthstone match I had. I wanna tell you about The Sims story I had. And,
so we're standing in the kitchen and I'm like, and
we're
then,
trying to change the topic
and then,
back.
And so the burglar robbed my house and I saw who it was. He was running down the street and tomorrow he called me up and asked me out on a date. And then Brian's like, yeah. Anyway, so I was playing this mage, and he froze the important minion on my board. And I'm like, that's great. Anyway, let me tell you about the time I drove the car. And
yeah, it goes on for a while.
But that's been super fun. That's been picking up most of my video game time right now.
All right. I basically played no video games, but I have been playing Hearthstone like once or twice a week. But luckily you all filled an hour, so that doesn't matter. I do want to go back to The Witcher still. I haven't forgotten about it, but I took a break because I got busy, and also I want to read the books. I did start reading. I finished the first short story.
Oh, cool. So, what did you think?
I really liked it. It made the intro movie of The Witcher make way more sense.
Yeah.
Because it was that story. I thought it was really cool. I can already tell reading through this stuff will give me a lot more appreciation for, like, the world and character of The Witcher, so.
Yep, it does. And
I like
they are fine books and they are owned, like regard, so.
Yeah, exactly. I've also finished, as I mentioned briefly to Cameron, this isn't video game related, but it's related to The Witcher books, in a way. I finished the first Song of Ice and Fire book.
Game of Thrones.
And you're reading
Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones.
That's and I will probably go ahead and get the next one on Audible.
I love the Game of Thrones book one, the Song of Ice and Fire book one, Game of Thrones.
It's so good, isn't it? It's great.
It sure is a great book.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I agree.
That's my review tag.
Yeah, this isn't a book podcast, though. So we'll move on. And also, Cameron has grown so eerily silent. I have to imagine it's because we're past the hour mark.
I wish you guys would just watch the stupid TV show.
See, the book is really,
negative.
Really good as
it's,
a book, Cameron.
Yeah, and I have said so many times that you're right. But it's way better when you've already seen the show.
I can't believe that. That's silly.
I don't care what you believe. It's the truth.
Don't argue.
And,
well,
as a matter of fact, I was so annoyed by you guys not listening to my advice. I actually went online and did a ton of research, quote-unquote research. I browsed a ton of forums and Wikipedias. Everyone, 90% of everyone is in agreement with me. That
really?
The show was, by the way, headed by George R.R. Martin. And so... Things like certain character relationships and certain events are better in the show than they were in the book. And everything the show does amplifies the effects of the book after you've seen the show.
Wait, I like to do things in their proper order.
Then you would have played Far Cry 1 and 2. That doesn't matter. Order is stupid when the show and is literally like better than the books.
It's not literally better.
And
wait,
you know
Brian,
because
you
you've
not
read
to
the
argue
show,
with Cameron.
And you've seen the show. Is that what you're
they're
saying?
They're different things, is what I'm saying. I'm sure.
Yeah, they're different. And the show amplifies the book's greatness tenfold.
A lot of people say this about The Lord of the Rings as well.
Well, that's not true about Lord of the Rings.
I know, and I think it's possible it won't be true with this. So I'm going to start with the thing that came first because I think books are better to be read before the movies.
That's
and the TV show
ridiculous and very close-minded, I might add.
It's not close-minded.
It absolutely
it's an
is
opinion.
Close-minded.
How? Okay.
Because you're saying because movies have always been worse than the books, therefore this is the same way.
Brian, do you want me? Are you? Would you be annoyed if I argued with Cameron for a minute?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not saying it's a blanket statement.
You have to ask him.
of always being that way. However, it is my experience. I've never seen it done otherwise, so it's just common sense.
So, this is how you're going to live the rest of your life? Forever?
Well, is there a problem with that?
What are you doing, Brian? Stop it.
Okay, Brian is annoyed because he thinks the argument is dumb because I'm probably setting up strawman again.
No, it's just that it's past the hour mark.
So, we need to see if we aren't allowed to argue.
Brian's engaged. No, I'm not complaining that you're arguing. It's just I've made a note before how Cameron will always get us into at least one large argument, typically at the end of an episode. And seeing it unravel before me, just put on a platter like this,
look,
I'm starting to think Cameron plans
it. Arguing, just because you're not good at arguuing doesn't mean
Wait,
you can't
Brian's
argue.
Pretty good at arguing.
No, he's not. Shh, hush.
Oh.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's a...
All I'm saying is what you... Challenge your beliefs, Brian, Steven.
Cameron, can I pose a hypothetical for you here real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
If I was to watch the show, maybe watch half a season of the show, and I found it was worse than the book, and I was enjoying it a lot less than the book and all of the episodes, should I just go back to the book and read that first because I enjoyed
watch
it a lot
more? Watch
the
entire first season because you've
already
seen...
What is half the season?
It's only five episodes for half a season.
Okay.
So you've already read the book up to a little bit, actually, the first book is a little more than the first season.
Mm-hmm.
You've already read the book, so just watch the whole first season, and if you still think that it's worth reading, but you have to look at it in a way that it's like, obviously the book is gonna be more detailed, it's gonna be more interesting, it's gonna have a lot more facts. But that's not why it's better or worse. The show is better or worse, but in my case better than the book because of the what it does with the information already given. It has to use less information, but it expands mm-hmm. on it in a much more interesting way. And the actors are amazing, and you don't get amazing acting in a book. And the set pieces are amazing, and you don't really get amazing set pieces in a book. So...
Well, I agree that they're good for different reasons, but what exactly about the show makes it necessary or so much better to see first? If we're
well,
do
I've
the
said
book
this
anyway.
Before.
Yeah,
the,
I just
the reasoning
get it.
Is that when you see the show... Okay, let's imagine Game of Thrones, the entire series, as a giant timeline from 0 to 100, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The show covers every three numbers, so mm-hmm. 3, 6, 9, 12, blah, 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 all the way up. So you get the general gist of the story, and you are entertained by the really good suspense, because movies and TV shows, visual, does suspense better than books, I personally believe. And you get all this crazy good acting and information and awesome set pieces and blah, 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 blah. But then when you go read the books, you have all this knowledge, you have all this information, but then all those gaps, 1, 2, 4, 5, 8, 9, are filled in. And you're like, oh man, now I appreciate the world even more.
Well, what if, but
I think that it might just be a difference of stylistically how we like to go about things though, Cameron.
But I used to be your way too. I used to read the books and then the movies. Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, all these things. I would read the books and then go back to the movies. This was the first thing I ever did where I started reading the book and then I happened to watch the show at the same time and I finished watching the show and then read the book. And I was like, wow, I'm really glad I did that.
I just don't like the idea of seeing the highlight reel first and then just
but it's,
going
you,
in
you,
for
you
extra.
You don't think of it as a highlight reel. It's not a highlight reel. It's a full-fledged show. It's a full-fledged feature with all the great acting and interesting things to look at, and then the book is like an addendum, an addition to what you already saw.
I don't know, man. I like being able to go through it slowly, think about it, envision what the characters look and sound like, and then seeing an interpretation of that on screen, rather than having that tell me this is the emotion that's happening here. It's... Books can do something very magnificent and different than TV shows can do, and I find that, in general, the TV show will overpower and supplant the characters and emotions in your mind, when I kind of like the imagination of discovering them in a book a lot.
I get your point. I still think you should give it a try.
That's fair enough. Also, the show seems like it's really, really, really violent, and I don't know if I want to watch it.
Well, it's no more violent than the descriptions you're going to get in the book.
I can deal with book violence a lot better than I can deal with on-screen violence.
Well, oh, wait a sec. Well, there's a nice revelation. You don't want to read the book before the movie because that's what you just do. You just don't want to watch the show.
I'm interested in the show. That's one of the things that's keeping me from it. But even if that wasn't an issue, I think I'd rather... I'm still, you know, rather do the book way
probably. Do you expect to ever watch the show?
I will watch the show, if it is not too gratuitous or extreme for me.
We and talked I'm about this yesterday. It's not actually as gratuitous and over the top of people.
It was today that we talked about this.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's a long day. It probably won't be that bad, but I've never heard people expound so deeply about how disturbing and grotesque and explicit a show is ever in my life.
I have to reiterate it just because it's the first TV show to do something like this and get away with it. But it works in the world so well. It doesn't feel gratuitous. When people's heads get chopped off, it's like, well, he probably deserved that. Or, well, oh no, my favorite character died. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, look at all that blood. Nothing splatters or squirts all over the place like Fear or whatever games you play.
It makes sense to an extent, as there has always been media pushing the boundaries of what's typically shown in media that, we would look at today and say, why was that a big deal? And I think Game of Thrones is that for current media. Doesn't necessarily
mean
the media.
Well, let me just say that the current media is already too much for me.
Okay.
And so this is pushing the boundaries. I don't think those are boundaries I want to see with my eyeballs. I mean, I'm already uncomfortable enough having to hear the kinds of stuff that happens in Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd want to see it. But
that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a more fair point than the book before the movie or TV show thing, honestly. So, whatever. I'll respect that one.
Okay. Yeah, that is a fair point, Stephen. Yeah, I doubt... Not a guess. I don't think you're ever going to really watch the show. But who knows?
Probably.
So Brian, why don't you take a break from the book and try and watch the whole first season of the show? Because you're not going to get any spoilers. You already know what's going to happen because you finished the first season already, quote unquote. So watch
the
show.
Yeah, I've considered doing that. I might do that. But if I finish the season, okay. Let's say I finish the season.
Okay.
And
then you can sit down and say, I have the knowledge of what the book is. I have a knowledge of what the show is. The show only gets better, the book only gets better. Now, in my mind, again, in my mind, this, you know how it works in my mind, but in your mind, you have to think to yourself, okay, would watching the show, knowing the pacing and the actors and all this, emphasize and make the book better afterwards, or would I rather still read the book first? That's the question you can ask yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably going to be worth doing, and I guess the question is, like, just... Do you think that's the first season, pretty fair impression of the show?
Yeah, it does, like, just like anything in its infamous,
infancy,
it gets better over time.
But the books probably do too.
But the books do too.
Okay.
Right.
So it'd be enough to judge them on comparative merits and say which I'd rather go with. Yeah. I agree with you a lot of the points you made, Stephen. The counterpoints I've thought of in terms of, like, watching the show first is how many great books are there out there with a great arcing narrative that you wonder what's going to happen next? That I haven't read yet? Tons. How many TV shows are there with a great arcing narrative like this that I wonder what's going to happen next? And not as many. So in a way, getting a TV show like that would be more valuable than getting a book like that. So that's one argument I'd have in terms of watching a show first.
That's kind of an interesting perspective.
Because
you mentioned it kind of pushing the boundaries of content. It's also pushing the boundaries, as I've mentioned many times today. It's the biggest production TV show of all time. It's rivaling movie budget productions easily.
Yeah.
And it shows. It's not Walking Dead, which is not a very
well. Just the
great
setting
show.
They're doing requires so much more work than Walking Dead. Walking Dead, you just put some people in makeup and walk around like existing places. But they're having to craft an entire world here that doesn't feel like, you know, cheap TV. Often,
and it doesn't. It feels like if you stitch those together without credits and stuff, it would be a giant movie.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah, I think I'll give that maybe a go in my kind of break here between starting the next book and see what I think. All right then. That's our little Game of Thrones segment, which apparently every podcast has to have at the end.
We don't have to have it again until you finish the first season.
Right.
There.
So I think that'll wrap it up for Disembodied Voices this week. Thank you, Stephen, for providing your wonderful insight and picture of a cat.
No prob, dude.
Thank you, Zachary.
Yeah, always a pleasure, I guess.
That was very tepid.
It's sometimes a pleasure.
There you go. Well, it was worth coming for Steven's Katy Perry comment, so.
Yeah, it definitely was.
I hope you keep enjoying Final Fantasy XIV.
Oh, I will.
And Cameron, thank you.
Of course, this always is, happy to be here.
This is our second podcast recording today.
Yes, it is. It's your third.
Yeah, I'm done. And thank you, everyone, for listening. You can find us at dvcast.com. We're on Twitter. We're the DVCast. And we are a product of Whales Are Whales, which you can find at whalesarewhales.com or Whales Are Whales on Twitter for shows like this with people like us. If you want to find us personally on Twitter, I am Lord Meldor with two R's there at the end. Steven is StephenKelly180. Zachary is Phazon Masher. And Cameron is Dell 90 Watt AC. And that'll do it for this week. So until next time, have a week. That was such a, coherent exit. No one interrupted.